He personally supervises the work of the teenage male slaves every morning of the week, except for Sundays. He weighs out the iron for each worker every day. He calculates the personal rates of productivity and waste. All of these workers are rewarded with a pound of meat per week, and the best are given new suits of red or blue to encourage productivity. And he also gets involved in the business side with great vigor. Well, I want to turn to the bigger legacies Jefferson had to deal with, his political legacies, and the intractable problems that dogged him throughout his career. And certainly the greatest of these was always the issue of slavery. And we've seen that for a long time, Jefferson dealt with this dilemma through wishful thinking, through an optimistic faith that emancipation was just around the corner. As he writes to Chastellux in 85, "I have printed and reserved just copies enough of Notes on the State of Virginia to be able to give one to every young man at the college," and here he means William and Mary. "It is to them I look, to the rising generation, and not to the one now in power, for these great reformations of emancipation." So he preaches optimism, but he actually does nothing to move emancipation forward. In fact, when James Heaton writes him in 1826 and urges him to actively champion the cause of emancipation, he writes back, "A good cause is often injured more by ill-timed efforts of its friends than by the arguments of its enemies. Persuasion, perseverance, and patience are the best advocates on questions depending on the will of others. The revolution in public opinion which this cause requires is not to be expected in a day, or perhaps in an age. But time, which outlives all things, will outlive this evil also." So Jefferson remains optimistic, but his own proposed solution, which is emancipation coupled with forced deportation, is extremely fanciful and more than a bit draconian. I want to talk about the progress of this dream. He mentions it in outline and notes in the State of Virginia and gives a much more detailed description to James Monroe, who is currently the governor of Virginia in 1801. The idea seems to be to provide for these people by a purchase of lands. The West Indies offer a more probable and practicable retreat for them. Insulated from the other descriptions of men, nature seems to have formed these islands to become the receptacle of the blacks transported into this hemisphere. The most promising portion of them is the island of San Domingo, Haiti, where the blacks are established into a sovereignty de facto and have organized themselves under regular laws and government. I should conjecture that their present ruler, Toussaint Louverture, might be willing, on many considerations, to receive even that description which would be exiled for acts deemed criminal by us, but meritorious, perhaps, by him. Well, almost 15 years later, he writes to Edward Coles, "I've seen no proposition so expedient on the whole as that is emancipation of those born after a given day and of their education and expatriation after a given age. This would give time for a gradual extinction of that species of labor and substitution of another, and lessen the severity of the shock, which an operation so fundamental cannot fail to produce." Well, why do they have to be exported? He explains, "Their amalgamation with the other color produces a degradation to which no lover of his country, nor lover of excellence in the human character, can innocently consent." But he's still preaching caution. He's still preaching wait and see. But in the meantime, because Coles, by the way, I want to point out, has suggested not only actively campaigning for abolition, but actually freeing his own slaves and moving out of Virginia. But in the meantime, are you right in abandoning this property and your country with it? Country, of course, being Virginia. "I think not. My opinion has ever been that until more can be done for them, we should endeavor with those whom fortune hath thrown in our hands to feed and clothe them well, protect them from all ill usage, require such reasonable labor only as is performed voluntarily by freemen, and be led by no repugnancies to abdicate them and our duties to them. The laws do not permit us to turn them loose, if that were for their good, and to commute them for other property is to commit them to those whose usage of them we cannot control. I hope then, my dear sir, you will reconcile yourself to your country and its unfortunate condition, that you will not lessen its stock of sound disposition by withdrawing your portion from the mass." Now, many have argued that Jefferson is, in fact, just typical of his time. But certainly Edward Coles was a Virginian, and Edward Coles fortunately did not take Jefferson's advice. He freed his slaves and moved to the Northwest, or what is now known as the Midwest.